Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The old blind eyes had been that way since birth. Never had he looked upon his mother's smiling face or watched the sunlight reflect off the surface of the Jordan River or stood in awe as the night sky was lit up by stars beyond number. No, those blind eyes and the man who had been living under the effects of karma all those years. Or so they thought. Karma, as defined by Google, so this must be correct, is the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as deciding their fate in future existences. Now, I'm not sure how many Buddhists or Hindus were around in Jerusalem during Jesus' day, but the idea is the same. It's a way of saying what goes around comes around, like there is some kind of justice that drives the inner workings of the universe. Perhaps you've seen it yourself. Let's just say, for instance, you're a person driving on West Beach Road down the hill toward the lake, and you know that it's only 40 miles an hour, but that does not keep the tailgater behind you from swerving around looking for an opportunity to pass, zipping out around you, speeding down the hill off to wherever they're late to be. And suddenly a county patrol car comes from being camouflaged in the driftwood and pulls over the speeding car. You laugh loudly as you drive past both cars. I mean, I wouldn't laugh, but maybe some other people would. That's karma for you. People love it. He got what was coming to him. The other side of that is the pay it forward idea. Now, I can't quite figure out how it's virtuous to pay for a latte in the car behind me in the line at Starbucks. I have also done that, but it is considered good karma, a way of setting the universe sort of in motion toward your favor. Which brings us back to the blind man. Jesus, walking along, he comes across a blind beggar. And the disciples ask the karma question. Who sinned, this man or his parents? You see, we love this question, actually, and we are very comfortable with it because it's a question that attempts to make sense out of the world that we see around us. A man has cancer. Well, two packs a day will do that to you. A man has liver disease. Probably shouldn't be having Jack Daniels for dinner every night. A heart attack? A little exercise goes a long way. Car accident? He was warned not to text and drive. The list goes on and on. And then we say, but we would never do any of those things. Does this explain the blind man? Was it his sin? Was it his parents? How do we answer the karma question? We could say that common sin has infected all of us. Sure, certain sins have very specific consequences. They are built into the way that our world functions. But death is going to get each and every one of us, no matter how well we live, no matter how righteous we think we might be. We've all sinned, and all creation suffers. We like to call it a broken world. Now, all of this is true. And if you throw in a quote from Luther or Walther or Francis Pieper, you would probably get an A on a dogmatics exam at the seminary. But that is not at all the answer that Jesus gives to the karma question. Instead, Jesus says, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed. You can almost see the disciples giving this Jesus, this collective, what did he just say? Is Jesus really saying that sin, in all of its negativity, has actually set into motion a chain of events that does not end in disaster, but with a mysterious blessing? Is that even possible? Well, if not, then karma is the best you have. That's not very good. If it is true, then what we have to look forward to is God's grace. It was never God's plan for mankind to fall into sin. It was never God's intention that there would be illness or death, or that people would be born blind. And yet, in the mystery of his grace, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, our Lord took a fallen situation and not only restored it, but made it better than it was before. By the mystery of the incarnation and the glory of the cross, we have come to see God as never before. Through this, we now see him face to face in his full sacrificial love. A paradise better than the Garden of Eden awaits all of us. And we have experienced this love that has been tested. It has been challenged. It is a love that goes beyond some mutual beneficial relationship. We who were blind have had the works of God displayed in us. In this great love, our Father in heaven has forgiven our sins and by his Holy Spirit created a faith in us that now sees the mighty works of God in Jesus. And having been forgiven, we with the formerly blind man say, Lord, I believe, and we worship him. It is an amazing love that God has on display. God is love. Did you know that God loves the angels? Of course he does. We all know that. He created them. The angels are holy, and they are in his presence day and night. But you see, it's really easy to love those who love you. Even non-believers do that. But we have received a greater love than all of these. We have been shown a more beautiful grace, for he has taken us fallen sinful creatures and has made us into children. That's not karma. That's God's grace. And yet the blindness of the world continues to chase after answers they neither understand nor outright reject, even when God puts his grace right at their fingertips. They look up here to our baptismal font and they don't even think it's worth the city tap water that fills it. But we, whose eyes have been opened, see a crystal fountain, a river of life flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb who was slain. What a miracle that God, the God and creator of the entire universe, would seek out the company of people like us. But that's exactly what God has done. Oh, and the blind man, whatever happened to him? Well, after the might of God is displayed in him through Jesus, he becomes an outcast, kicked out of the synagogue and likely not allowed into the temple either. His parents disowned him, for they were afraid of the Jews and becoming outcasts themselves. And the community that knew him his entire life made him a social pariah. This is the reaction of the blind worlds to God's grace. But what does Jesus do? When he heard that he had been cast out, he went looking for him. He searched him out. And upon finding him, our Lord took friendship and mercy, and he rolled them all into a relationship that will last for all eternity. The blind man's family, the religious leaders, and the entire community all opted for karma. But now, after seeing all of this, I'll take God's grace any day of the week. Amen.